You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible
Church. I'll be in Colossians chapter 2, beginning at verse 9 through the rest of the chapter. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, which is the head of all principalities and power, in whom also you are circumcised with that circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. And if you'll inject this word yourself as an ellipsis, it'll help you to understand the next verse. Likewise, or in like manner, buried with him in baptism, wherein you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, with raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and uncircumcised in your flesh, hath he made alive, together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, and blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, took it out of the way, and nailing it to the cross. Spoiled the principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or drink, or respect of a holy day, or of a new moon, or of a Sabbath, which are shadows of things to come, but the body is Christ. Let no man beguile you with your reward and voluntary humility or worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he had not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head, which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment, ministers knit together, it increases with the increase of God. Wherefore, if you've died with Christ from the rudiments, the ABCs of this world system, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances such as touch not, taste not, handle not, which are all to perish with the using after the commandments and the teachings of men? Which things indeed have a show of wisdom in will worship and humility, neglecting of the body, not in any honor, and inject the word save to the satisfying of the flesh. And may the Lord add his blessing now to the reading of this his holy word, this grace for Christ Jesus' sake, in whose name we ask it. Amen. I'm reminded of your faithfulness and the privilege that we have here to come aside now from the burr and the hush of things, that we might for these few minutes wait upon you as you minister to us that which is needful in the individual heart as well as collectively, recognizing at the same time our ever constant need. We look to you for grace now as you sanctify us to your purpose, as you cleanse us and make us the vessel to give and to receive, and that according to your purpose. We'll be very careful at the outset then to thank you for attending every little detail that will be needful, particularly that you rebuke the evil one now, as we look to you for a blessing here and now, and this for Christ Jesus' sake, in whose name we pray. Amen. Well, now to pull our thinking together, in Colossians, this portion of the mystery, that sacred secret that was revealed to the Apostle Paul for our obedience and at the same time instruction and pleasure in the security that offers us. We've learned so far in Colossae that our Lord was the first of all a creature world when he took upon himself the form of a creature in order to create man in the image of God. This was a result of a council in the Godhead from before the foundation of the world, when they said, let us make man in our image. And since God is a spirit, he did not have a form like man. In order to create man in the image of God, God had to take on creature form. Hence we read in the ninth verse of Colossians here, that in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He took upon him bodily form to make, create man in his own image. And then we learned also last 2 weeks ago that he took on human form in order to redeem the human race, in being the firstborn out of the dead in that context. Consequently, he is the head of a new creation, a new race of people, so to speak. Just as we were born physically into the family of Adam, we've now been born spiritually into the family of God in Christ Jesus. Now, last week we noted how that to place the importance of this to the mind, Paul speaks about the great conflict in verse 1 of chapter 2 that he has for those Colossae who've never seen his face. And then he calls upon them to acknowledge this mystery in verse 2, the secret of God, which is Christ. And this Christ is, verse 3 says, in whom are hidden all, not some, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Hence it's foolish to walk in any other way other than what you did when you received Christ in verse 6. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk you in him. Then he gives us a warning in verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy, vain deceit, tradition, the ABCs of this world system, the rudiments. And the reason why we don't need anything else is because, as verse 9 where we begin, because in Christ dwells all the fullness of Godhead. And because of that, those of us who are in Christ, as verse 10 said, you are therefore now complete. And this word complete, as I've said many times, but just to emphasize it again, means to fill it to the full. It lacks nothing. Christ plus nothing is everything. Christ plus something else is attraction from the efficacy of his work. This is why we're told. Now, you see, in the early church, the Jew was predominantly the one. The early church was all of its officers, most of its founders were Jewish. And it required circumcision to be a Jew. In fact, if you were not circumcised, you were an outcast. You were cut off from the nation. But in we read in verse 11, those of us who are complete in Christ, notice, we are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands. You see, circumcision was a physical thing and had to be done by hand. And it was a sign of a covenant between God and Abraham. And all those that came under that covenant, they became the children of Abraham in God and were protected by that covenant relationship. We likewise are circumcised, not with a physical thing, but by the operation of God, as we'll see in a minute. It's the work the Holy Spirit does. This circumcision had to do with throwing away that which was unclean. You know what, that little old foreskin, what it was, but speaking of uncleanness, it's cast away. And that was a ritual in Judaism. Likewise, the priesthood. If a man was going to be a priest, he was brought before the door of the tabernacle, and there he was either sprinkled or, in that case, in the priesthood case, just sprinkled. Other cases, they were immersion. But they was required if you're going to be in the priesthood. And since Israel as a nation was called to that end, it was required if a man was going to be a priest, that's what had to take place. Hence, when John the Baptist came preaching, he called for the nation to be baptized. By the same token, you see that goes on verse 11. As I said, between verse 11 and verse 12, to understand verse 12, likewise, what followed in baptism is just what followed in circumcision. You were buried with him in baptism, just as you were made one with him in circumcision. And the baptism he refers to is in Matthew chapter 20, if you've turned there. It's important because this is a very, very controversial thing, but once you're established in it, it should be no problem for you. This is an occasion when a mother had a real ambition for two of her boys. Matthew 20, verse 20. There came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons worshiping him and desiring a certain thing. And he said unto her, What wilt thou? And she saith unto him, Grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on the right hand and the other on the left hand, in thy kingdom. She didn't want much, did she? That mother had some ambition for her sons, didn't she? Jesus said, you don't know what you're asking. Are you able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, to be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with? They said, no, we're able. They'd already been baptized, so they knew what that ritual was. And Jesus then, so that they'll understand, said to them, you shall drink indeed of my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with. Said, on my right hand, on my left hand, is not mine to give, but given to them which are prepared of my Father. The baptism that Jesus is talking about is his death, his burial, his resurrection. And every one of us who receive Christ, well, look how the verse reads back in Colossians again, verse 12. Here's how we're baptized. Baptized with buried with him in baptism. There's our identification with his burial. We're risen with him. And through how? The operation of God. By faith, when we receive Christ, we're automatically placed in that place of death, burial, and resurrection. Again, this by the operation of God, not by the hand of man. Just as circumcision, the same way. And just to reinforce that so that there won't be any misunderstanding, you have died in your sins and uncircumcision in your flesh, have God made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Here's why. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances. I have no reason anybody misunderstand that. Whatever ordinances are required, circumcision or baptism, and many other ordinances too, tithing, and I could go on and list a lot of them, they've been blotted out. Why? Because you are complete in Christ. That's all you need. You see, these old grave clothes of Rome are still with us everywhere you turn. One degree or another. Most of God's people do not realize the liberty that they've been called into. Real free men. Religion has no strings, no hold on you at all. Christ has all. This is why we learned last week, in him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. What do you want out of life? Always ask yourself that question. Have you been mining in the right field? It doesn't matter what you're active in this life. Is Christ the one in that action? That's what it is. If he is, you never have to ask anybody a question. You think it's all right if I do this or if I don't do that? I assure you, beloved, if you can take Christ into that project, whatever it is, whatever you're doing, from mopping the floor to running a big corporation, it makes no difference. If you can take Christ into it and share with him in it, you're on good ground, because you're complete in him. Everything that God is incorporated in him. If you're in him, you can't find anything higher ground than that. That's the top of the heap. That's real freedom. It answers all your questions. You never have to worry about this thing or that thing. The sin of man today is lack of faith. And whatsoever is not of faith is sin. If you can believe that you're complete in Christ, you have perfect liberty. Because you've been placed as a son, You have great responsibility. Liberty, beloved, is not a license. Today we hear people, when marches, having big placards talking about the liberty they got, and they got a right to do this, they got a right to do that. You see, beloved, when you become a son of God, you have all these rights, but you have responsibilities that override your own personal wants. You got to learn who you are, where you're coming from. For instance, years ago, when I was a young man, the then Prince of Wales, his father was King George, and he was an ambassador of goodwill on touring the world, and he was a very able man. And wherever he traveled, he had diplomatic immunity. He could do whatever he wanted to. He could have killed you, and you couldn't have touched him. When he came to America, if he was so desired, he could do anything he wanted to. The law could not touch him. He was absolutely free. But he was responsible to King George. See? That's exactly our position. We have perfect liberty. We are free men. We're responsible to none save Christ Jesus. That's who we're responsible to. We'll give an account of our stewardship. Oh, you won't get away with anything. Don't misunderstand me. That liberty requires standing up as a son. And I mean one who deals with you as a son. One who's honest about it. Not like some of our parents were. Just whipped me or because they're mad at me or something. But let me tell you, the woodshed is still there for my education. You see? That's right. So God deals with us as sons, not as bastards. That's what the scripture says. Whom the Lord loves, he chastens. If you be not chastened, you're as a bastard. And no chastening, the scripture says, is pleasant. But afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness to them, to them who are exercised by it. If you punish your children with a view for their education, when they're exercised by that punishment, they grow up a little bit, you see. And we're the same way. See, all you need is Christ. But you must feed upon Him. He is your strength. He's everything in your life. You wouldn't in any way miss even 2 or 3 days without eating. And yet many people go a week or so without even picking up the book. Just come to church on Sunday and they got satisfied. Let me tell you, you're going to get pretty anemic if that's your course of life. Because this is the only place you can feed on. This is the written word that reveals to us the incarnate word. As the scripture says, in beholding Him, we're changed from one glory to another. That's a growth process, you see. Now he goes on then to make this doubly sure that they won't misunderstand me. All these things that men did in religion, it was nailed to the cross, verse 14. It was contrary to us. He took it out of the way. He spoiled the principalities and powers. He made a show of them openly. First thing that he said to John on the Isle of Patmos, when John saw him, and you read it at your own time. On the Isle of Patmos, he said he had eyes like a flame of fire, hair like white like wool, feet like brass. And John was so mesmerized he just fell down like that. And Jesus said to him, "Fear not, it's I. I am the Alpha, I am the Omega. I am now lie forevermore. And I have, notice, I have the keys to hell and to death. There was a time when the old usurper, somewhere in the ages back, was given some domain over the unseen world. He no longer has that authority. He spoiled, and notice, Christ spoiled the principalities and powers when he broke the seal of death. And there lie there, let no man therefore pass judgment upon you. What you eat, or what you drink, or whatever holy days you observe, or new moon or Sabbath, any of these things that men make a lot of deal out, big deal over. Nobody has a right to judge you in these things. All those things, notice verse 17, were a shadow. They were a shadow of the things to come. See, we have the substance. We don't need the shadow. We have the substance of Christ himself. Let no man beguile you of your reward in voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which you have not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, not holding the head. When we were in Athens, I got there a couple of days before Charlie did, and I had a 2 days just to fool around town, not going to look at anything particular. I'd been to Athens before. I'd seen most of their famous places. So I went to a little out-of-the-way Greek Orthodox church, and I stood in the foyer and just watched the people as they came in. This was about 9 o'clock in the morning. A lot of people going to work, and they're stopping there on the way to work. They come in, and the first thing they have, run over the candle over here. They take a candle, and they have icons. That's pictures of different saints of a bygone generation, or Mary, or somebody like that. Not Christ. Because everybody's pictures, everybody's Christ. They're all them pictures are lined up there. When they light the candle and they burn it, put a light on the fire there, sit there and say a prayer like this to that icon, and you kiss the picture and fall down, get up and do like this here and walk out the front door. And you know, that's bondage. Those people aren't free. Now I know we don't, in America we don't go to that extreme. Well, there are some that do, I guess, but when we were in Rome, we saw the same thing. Not only the Greek Orthodox, but also Romanism. Peter stands out there in solid granite. In the basilica, you see now that all that picture you see on television where all them thousands of people gather out there. Right in the middle of the big old statue of Peter. They were that poor fellow's fingers off, his fingers off and his toes off by walking up there and kissing him. That doesn't do them any good at all. In fact, that dishonors God, you see. They ignore what Peter said. Let's listen to Peter. People talk about Peter being wrong. Listen to Peter himself. Turn to Peter's writing. Second chapter, verse 4, we start there before now. Coming as unto a living stone. Here's a rock that's alive. Disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. And you also, as lively stones, are built upon a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifice acceptable by God, to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it's contained in the Scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect and precious. He that believeth on him shall not be confounded. And you therefore which have believed, he, Christ, is precious. But unto them which disbelieve, is he is the stone which the builder disallowed, same as become the head of the corner, and so on. Peter's own testimony tells you who the rock and the stone is. And as Paul puts it, other foundation can no man lay than is laid, which is Christ Jesus the Lord. So, building a foundation on old shifting Peter would be a very scary thing. But on Christ, He's the rock of ages. See, let me hide myself in thee, not Peter. Well, notice, let no man beguile you with these things. These were shadows. A worship of angels or anything else. When John on the Isle of Patmos went, he fell down before an angel. You read that in the last chapter of John's the Apocalypse. And the angel said, no, don't do that. Get up off your haunches. You don't worship me, worship God. So the angel had to correct even John. See, John was a Jew. I mean, he came out of a Jewish background. He fell prostrate before angels. The angel said, no, don't do that. Better we read it. Look at the last chapter of Revelation. This is the angel that delivered the content to John concerning the whole book of the Apocalypse, or the Revelation. And as he finished 22nd chapter, verse 8, I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. And he said to me, see that thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. See? Any time you see somebody prostrating himself like that, that's false. It's not real. There's only one word we worship, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot say you worship the Father and ignore Him. No man comes to the Father but through Him. See? You cannot worship God in the flesh. You must worship Him in the Spirit. You have to recognize Him, because He is the one who takes the things of Christ. He is the one who will show them unto you. He is the one to guide you into these truths. See? So that Christ is everything. It's held up there for us, don't you see? And that's the problem of God's people today. Verse 19. Not holding the head, which all the body, by joints and bands, having nourishment, ministered and knit together, increased with the increase of God. Supposing your body. Well, I said, hand, I need my head scratched. And my hand said, go whistle Dixie. What would I do to my hand? I'd run to Doxy, wasn't matter. I see that hand not paying attention to the head. See? And yet, that's a lot of times that's what God's people do. They got paralysis. They need some help. Not holding the head. If notice what, if you died with Christ from the ABCs of this world system, that's what rudiments means, the ABCs, the things that are commonly accepted. And we're talking particularly in the field of religion. You can apply it anywhere you want to. But Paul is thinking pretty much about the shadows that religion promoted. If you're really a free man, why are you affected by the commonly accepted ABCs, which have to do, notice, you died to the, and you're subject to these ordinances, touch not, taste not, handle not. I'm going to pick on about the best fundamental group in the country now. If you ever notice Baptists, when they give a testimony, one of the first things they do, and I love the Baptists, and I thank God for them, because they do get a lot of people saved through their ministry in spite of what they do. But one of the things that they testify to, first thing is, I give up drinking beer and smoking right off the bat. That makes them a Christian. That's an idea people have in the back of their mind. That hasn't got a thing in the world to do with it. Why? Because that thought process has been planted there under a legal system that we're not under. Touch not, taste not, handle not. Which all to perish with the using after the commandments and teachings of men. And these things have a sure wisdom, all right, in real worship. I remember there was a fella, I think he's dead now, I know he is. He was a movie star years ago, named Raymond. I remember he wrote an article one time. He was boasting upon his willpower. He said that he made himself quit smoking every year, and he quit for a whole year. He went back the next year and went smoking again. And he quit the next year just to show he could do it. That's will worship. He was proud of that. I've heard men speak about their success. See, I came from a small boy out in the boondocks, you know. Look at me now. And the scripture says, thou fool, thy soul will be required tonight. That's God's answer to that. This is will worship. Notice, these things have a sure wisdom in will worship and humility. The neglecting of the body. Not in any honor at all, except or save to the satisfying what? Of the flesh. That's all. You ladies are never satisfied. If you're overweight, you're going to lose. If you're skinny, you want to gain weight. You never are satisfied. You know, one day, though, God is going to make you, really make you satisfied. You don't have to worry about diets or anything else. Just with all your beauty or ugliness, thank God for it. If you got beauty, it's really a curse in this 20th century. Look at all the, if you look at the real people, beauty that people admire, who are they? Well, they're the great celebrities. Look at their life. And women have little girls or boys. If they thought they could get their child in the movies to be a movie star, man, that would be a big ambition. What you're really doing, you said, I want my child to grow up in the lifestyle of all those whores and whoremongers out there on the West Coast. That's what you're really saying. And you don't even realize. Those who are the celebrities are the people you see. I done quit preaching, going to meddling, I see that. But anyway, those people out there, you notice, the celebrities today, if you look at any great shows, who do you see? And they're supposed to be the smart people. The wisdom in this world is with what? It's foolishness with God. See? Well, it's 12 o'clock. We're going to stop. But I think that if you soberly reflect upon the things we've covered, whether you agree with them or not, if you have a fault, your fault's not with me, it's with the scriptures. And so I leave it with you that way. That you ought to walk out that door thanking God, if you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, that you are complete in Him. You're a free man. See? And that's what Jesus meant when He said, you know the truth. Truth can make you free. Nothing else can. You can cross all your T's and dot all your I's. You can say all your Hail Marys. You can light all your candles. You can tithe. You can be sprinkled, immersed, and dumped, and everything else. When you get through, if you don't have Christ, that's a waste. It's just ridiculous. And yet intelligent people do all these things. It's amazing. Brilliant people say, we'd never do that crazy thing except to do something like this. Father, thank you for the word and the fellowship here. I recognize that in talking about things like this, we sometimes go overboard in one direction too far, and so to that extent, would you just erase it? But for those things that I've said that are true, that the Holy Spirit can use in a mighty way, we commend them to your hand that you might return them as a blessing to us. Thank you for attending this, Father, and this grace for Christ Jesus' sake. In the name we ask it. Amen.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.